அஸ்ஸலாமு அலைக்கும் வரஹ்மத்துல்லாஹி வபரகாத்து. ان الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وارحام، ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اما بعد، فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى اله وسلم تسليما كثيرا، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أخرج الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله تعالى عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم قال: رغم أنف رجل دخل عليه رمضان ثم انصرف قبل ان يغفر له. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in an authentic hadith that has been collected by Imam Abu Isa at-Tirmidhi, may Allah ta'ala have mercy upon him for collecting and preserving for us the sunnah of his Prophet and his Messenger alayhi salawatullahi wa salamu. He said, may the person who Ramadan comes to him and then it leaves him and he does not get forgiven, may that person be humiliated. The person that the month of Ramadan comes to him while he's living, and he has the ability to fast, or he is present and he has his senses. Ramadan comes and it goes without that individual being forgiven. May that individual, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, may he be dishonored. May he be humiliated. Clearly in this hadith, ikhwan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not make such a statement or a dua on a person unless that person was in fact from the khasirin. Those people were the true losers. That the month of Ramadan, that tremendous month, will come and go and he doesn't get the maghfirah of Allah ta'ala. And as it relates to the month of Ramadan, it is one of those issues in which the Muslim finds himself having mixed feelings. In the month of Sha'ban, which is the month that precedes Ramadan, when the Muslim knows that he has a week or 2 weeks before Ramadan approaches and it comes, he wants to greet the month with happiness and with iman. On one hand, he knows that Ramadan is a rukn from the arkan of Islam. It has been legislated by his Lord, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. To dislike it or to have a problem with it is kufr, tantamount to disbelief. So he believes in that, so he's happy as a result of that. But on the other hand, the human being, because of his nature, because of the texture in which he's been created, when the month of Ramadan is about to approach, on the other hand, he has a problem with not the legislation of Ramadan, but the concept of not being able to fill his belly. Being told that he can't eat and drink for a whole month during the daylight hours. Being told that he can't have relationships with his wife for a whole month. So he approaches the month with mixed feelings. If someone is sitting there and they are saying, no, that's not the case. It may not be the case with you, Abdullah. You may be from the awliya of Allah. But it's the case with the overwhelming majority of the people that during the approachment of Ramadan, people start to get a bit mustarab. Their affairs become shaky. It's time for me for a whole month to stop eating as I like to usually eat. If you were to look at the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can clearly see that this is the nature of Bani Adam. And in actuality, there's really nothing wrong with that if you can control the situation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of our mother Safiya radiyallahu anha. He said, "Inna shaytan yajri mibni Adam majra dam." Verily, shaytan, he goes in and out of Adam just as his blood goes in and out of him, how it circulates. How do we understand this hadith? We understand this hadith, number one, in that shaytan has the ability to whisper to you and he has the ability to send you astray. But there's another issue that I want to bring your attention to as it relates to the Ramadan approaching and a person being uncomfortable. And that is what happened when Allah Ta'ala created our father Adam, alayhi salatu wassalam. And before having the spirit of life blown into him, Allah left Adam laying there, lifeless, 60 cubit feet. And he allowed the enemy of Adam, Iblis, to go inside of Adam and to case him, and to investigate Adam. After him going in and out of Adam like his blood will go and circulate, he came out, la'natullahi alayhi, and he said, فَلَمَّا رَآهُ أَجْوَفْ عَرَفَ إِنَّهُ خَلْقٌ لَا يَتَمَالِكَ. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when shaytan noticed and recognized that Adam was ajwaf, he knew that he was a creation that could not control himself. What does the word ajwaf mean? It comes from the word jof, which means your stomach. When he realized that shaytan was created with a stomach, he knew that he wouldn't be able to control himself. His creation is a creation that he is bent on filling up his stomach by any means necessary. It's not important to him. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has narrated to us in an authentic hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari, تَعِثَ عَبْدُ الدِّينَارِ وَتَعِثَ عَبْدُ الدَّرْهَمِ وَتَعِثَ عَبْدُ الْخَمِيسَ إِنْ أُعْتِيَ رَضِيَ وَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْتَ سَخِطَ. Verily, he will be dishonored and destroyed and he will be wretched. The one who was a slave to the dinar, the one who was a slave to the dirham, and the one who was a slave to his stomach. If he is given, he's happy. And if he's prevented from giving, he becomes upset. All of those are clear proofs that Allah Ta'ala has created Adam and the sons of Adam. Their nature is, they want to fill their stomachs when they want to fill their stomachs. They want to take care of their shahwa or desires when they want to take it. So if you have a legislation that says to them, no, don't do it like this, people are going to be mustaribun. People are going to be on shaky ground. But those people who fast during the course of the year, or those people who don't fast during the course of the year, but they have some iman, when Ramadan comes, after the first 3 or 4 or 5 days, the person becomes used to Ramadan and he sits here after 24 days and Ramadan is no problem. So why did he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say that the one who Ramadan comes and it leaves without him being forgiven, this man, may he be dishonored? The Prophet told us that because, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the month of Ramadan came to us over 23 days ago, many of us knew about the virtues of the month of Ramadan. That it was a month in which Laylatul Qadr was in it. A night that's more better than 1,000 months. So if a man has been a Muslim for 2 years, he has witnessed 2 Laylatul Qadr. So the Laylatul Qadr of the first year better than 1,000 months, other than Laylatul Qadr. He knows about that. He knows that the month of Ramadan is the month that the shayateen are tied down. Ample opportunity for him to get emancipated from the hellfire. He knows that Ramadan is the month in which the doors of Ar-Rahmah and the doors of paradise are open. He knows the virtues of the month. And yet the month comes at the beginning and he's pumped up. But he finds himself after 23 days being a person who is just as ignorant in his behavior, and just as oppressive in his behavior as he was prior to the month of Ramadan. So the one who Ramadan came to him and it left him without him being forgiven, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua. May he be humiliated. How can you, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, allow this golden opportunity to come and to go? And we've been doing what we've been doing. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. So what is the Abd to do? He finds himself probably on the wrong side of the fence as it relates to the sunnah and the minhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan. In his behavior, in his ibadah, in his commitment, in what he put forth. What is the Abd to do? The Abd now takes it as an opportunity. After 23 days of fasting, he still has 6 days left, inshallah. He turns to his Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala, with these few days, and he makes al-istighfar. He seeks the forgiveness of Allah, and he makes the tawbah. For verily he has a Lord, who no matter what he did, and no matter how much of it he did, he has a Lord, if he wants to renew his contract, his Lord, tabarak wa ta'ala, is ghafoor rahim. His Lord is al-kareem, he's generous. It does not make a difference to him that all of you stand to get forgiven at one time. And he is not to allow the shaitan to come to him and to make the waswasa and to say to him, Ya akhi, don't play with your religion. 24 days of fasting and you've been acting as you were from the jahileen. You've been oppressive. Now after 24 days, you want to get the reward and you want to get forgiven? Don't play with Allah. This is his religion. Let not any of us listen to that whisper of a shaitan. The religion tells us, now Ya Abdullah, you still have an opportunity. Each and every one of us, we still have an opportunity. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam was sent with a book that contains a tremendous ayah from the ayat of Allah to prove that it is not intelligent for one of us to become faint-hearted, to listen to shaitan's waswas. Allah Ta'ala told us in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Zumar, in ayat number 53, قُلْ يَا إِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say unto them, Ya Muhammad, say unto these people, O my servant, Allah is telling you, Bani Adam, each and every one of us, Allah is saying, tell my servants not to give up hope from receiving the rahmah of Allah. Verily Allah will forgive all of the sins. Verily He, Allah Ta'ala, is Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim. This ayat was revealed for a tremendous reason that's connected to us. There were some people who were from the people of Al-Kufr wa Shirk. They were inclined to Islam and they liked the dawah of Al-Islam. But a shaitan came to them and he was making waswas to them. Had them thinking that because of what they did in Jahiliyyah, Allah Ta'ala was not going to forgive them. So they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Al-Imam Al-Bukhari brought this hadith, giving us the sabab of the nazul of this ayah, Ya Muhammad, إِنَّ الَّذِي تَقُولُ وَتَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ لَحَسَنٌ وَلَكِنَّا أَكْثَرْنَا مِنَ الْقَتْلِ وَأَكْثَرْنَا مِنَ الزِّنَا وَأَكْثَرْنَا مِنَ الشِّرْبِ هَلْ لَنَا مِنْ كَفَّارَةٍ فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. They say, O Muhammad, this thing that you're saying, this kalimat al-tawheed, being kind to the people, being a Muslim, this dawah of yours, it's nice, it's a good thing. But we are people who in Jahiliyyah, we used to make a lot of zina, and to this point that we're talking to you, we are zunat. As I'm speaking to you right now, Ya Rasulullah, I'm a zani. And we were a people who used to drink a lot of khamr, and we used to kill people unjustly. If we were to accept your religion, will we have an opportunity? Will we be forgiven for our sins? And then Allah Ta'ala revealed that ayat, say to them, Ya Muhammad, O my servant who have gone overboard and doing evil in the month of Ramadan, outside of the month of Ramadan, do not give up hope. Do not become faint-hearted of the forgiveness of Allah, the rahmah of Allah. Verily, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is al-ghafoor, al-raheem. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu, in giving an explanation of this ayah, in an authentic essay that's been collected by Imam al-Tabarani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said about this issue, inna a'zam ayatin fi kitabillah, Allahu la ilaha illahu, wa inna ajma ayatin fi kitabillah, inna allaha ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan, wa inna ashadda ayatin farhan, qawlullahi ta'ala, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Look at the fiqh of Abu Abdul Rahman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiyallahu anhu. He said, very the greatest ayat in the book of Allah is the statement of Allah Ta'ala in Ayatul Kursi. And he said that based upon his fiqh and his understanding, that was taken directly from the fountain of a Nabuwa. The greatest ayat of the Qur'an is Ayatul Kursi. Who's memorized the ayat in the month of Ramadan? The one who didn't know it prior to Ramadan. Would we be oppressive if we said, a man who's been in Islam for a minute, for him not to have Ayatul Kursi under his belt, his Islam, his Iman, his commitment is suspect? With all of the virtues connected to Ayatul Kursi. It is the greatest ayah of the Qur'an. And then he said, in the most comprehensive ayah in the book of Allah, as it relates to the khair and the shar, the most comprehensive ayah as it relates to good and bad, doing good and doing evil, is the statement of Allah, verily Allah orders you people with al-adl, to be just in all of your affairs. And Allah orders you with al-ihsan, to worship Him and to behave in the best way. As if He, Tabarak wa Ta'ala, is looking at you, and as if you are looking at Him. And He said finally, and the greatest ayat in the Qur'an that brings happiness is the statement of Allah, say to my servant, O my servant who have oppressed themselves, do not give up from the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah will forgive all of the sins. So with that being the case, Ikhwan, we want to come to you and we want to be a nafi'un mubeen. Since we are all brothers in this religion, I'm a brother to you, a younger brother to some, an older brother to others, and on the same level with yet others from amongst you. And the sisters are included. So I stand before you to give you advice, good advice that comes from our deen. And that advice is that we have to stop the train. The train of being of the people who fall into ma'asi, especially the ma'asi of the kaba'ir. A man has to take the time out to become a person who decides, I want to be a muttaqi. I want to be a righteous individual in this life, in this society. When does he expect to get it together? At the beginning of Ramadan, we have a brother by the name of Abdullah Nafis. The brother who the thing was posted to visit him in the hospital. That brother thought, just like all of us thought, that he would be fasting the month of Ramadan. Out of nowhere, Allah Ta'ala tried him in his situation. But He kept him from amongst us. And we ask Allah Ta'ala to keep him from amongst us and to purify him. But there were others in this community and in other communities who haven't been afforded the opportunity to get it together. This is a sign from Allah Ta'ala, and that's why the Prophet used to tell us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to visit the sick people and to visit the grave. When that brother was shot, and we went to make the janazah, we went to bury him, no one was in that graveyard except that they looked around at those graves, and they said, this is my masir, this is my nihaya. But when you come far away from those places, the dunya makes you forget. When we went to visit Abdullah Nafis, and you went around the corner and you saw the brother in his condition, you left that hospital humble with some clarity that you didn't have prior to that. So those of us who know, or we have people in the hospital, we encourage you to go to the hospital for your own self first and foremost. So what was the minhaj of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, as it relates to the person making the istighfar and the tawbah to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. First of all, the Muslim has to recognize again that whatever his sins are, and no matter how many he made, if you all can sit there and indulge your ability to imagine the worst sin under the sun, and couple it with other sins, and divide it and multiply it with other sins, no matter what the sin is, and no matter how many they are, and no matter what the nature of the sin is, if a man stops right now, right today, and he's serious about making tawbah, no matter what your sin is, Allah is going to forgive you, inshaAllah. Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah ta'ala said, Yabna Adam, and this is your Lord talking to you directly, talking to me directly, Yabna Adam, ma da'awtini wa rajawtini ghafartu laka ala ma kana fika wa la ubali. Yabna Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك أنان السماء ثم استغفرتني غفرت لك ولا أبالي يا ابن آدم لو آتيتني بقراب الأرض خطايا ثم لقيتني لا تشرك بي شيئا لأتيتك بقرابها مغفرة. Oh son of Adam, my slave, if you were to call on me and you were to ask me to forgive you, Allah is telling you, if you were to call on me and you were to ask me to forgive you, I will forgive you for your sins in spite of what is with you and what is wrong with you. In spite of the fact that you are oppressive, in spite of the fact that you are ungrateful, in spite of the fact that you are negligent and forgetful, in spite. I will forgive you and I won't mind. O son of Adam, my slave, my servant, if you were to come to me with the sins that reach up into the clouds, and then you were to ask me to forgive you, verily I will forgive you and I don't mind. O son of Adam, if you were to meet me yawm al-qiyamah, and you were to have the sins that filled up the whole earth, and you met me without making any shirk, I will forgive you for your sins and I will give you that much forgiveness that is also similar or equivalent or comparable to the sins that you committed. So irregardless of how much a person does, this hadith clearly shows how Allah Ta'ala, if we all stood together in one big field, asked them to forgive us all, Allah Ta'ala will forgive us, and it doesn't mean anything to him, tabarak wa ta'ala. So what was the minhaj of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, he told us in an authentic hadith that's been collected by the Imam Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, ala ma hadhitha lana min sunan an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna kunna lan'uddu li rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fil majlis al-wahid 100 marra. Rabbi allahumma ighfir li wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Abdullah ibn Umar is showing us from the minhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, when we used to sit with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would sit there and we would count that he would say 100 times at least, Allahumma ighfirli, oh my Lord, forgive me. Allahumma ighfirli wa tub alayya, oh Allah, and forgive me, make this tawbah. Verily you are a tawwab rahim. We would sit there, and in his regular sitting, his sitting that is ordinary, sitting in the restaurant, sitting in the masjid, sitting by his house, by your house, he would sit there and we would look at him and we would count him saying this dua 100 times. So from the minhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is for the man to have his tongue not becoming dry with the remembrance of Allah. And from what he should say excessively and extensively is, أستغفر الله اللهم اغفر لي وتوب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. He says أستغفر الله, and his partner, his companion says, يا أخي, why did you say أستغفر الله?
Did you see something evil? Did you create a sin? Did you do something? He says, La, I'm from Bani Adam. So I say, Astaghfirullah, 100 times. So it can mean that he literally said it 100 times, or the hadith can mean what the Arabs used to do was, if they wanted to show a large number, they may use 100, not really meaning 100. They may use 70, not really meaning 70, but it's implying a large number. So that's from what we see is the minhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu also brought us another glimpse into the minhaj that the Prophet brought sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for you and me as it relates to making istighfar. He said that he heard the Messenger of Allah say, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, ma min abdin yudnibu dhanban fa yuhsinu tuhur ثم يقوم فيصلي ركعتين ثم يستغفر الله إلا غفر له. He says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith that's been collected by Imam Ahmed and the Ashab al-Sunan, there is not an abd, a single individual from the Muslim, who does a sin, and then after doing the sin that he knows that he did, he goes and he makes a perfect wudu. After making the perfect wudu, which consists of not wasting the water, which consists of not being excessive by doing it 4 or 5 times, which consists of not going and making the innovations that the people have made in their wudu, which consists of taking care to hit all of the parts, which consists of his mind being present to realize what he's doing. Whoever makes the proper and the perfect wudu, and then he goes and he prays 2 rak'at, and then he makes the istighfar of Allah, except that Allah Ta'ala will forgive him for his sin. So now after the salah, the man stands up, and without having to have another wudu, he goes and he makes the wudu, and he brings to his mind the evil that he did, whether it was in the month of Ramadan or in the years gone by. And he concentrates on the perfect wudu, and he comes and he makes those 2 rak'ahs, and he seeks the forgiveness of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will forgive him. That's from the minhaj of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Thoban, the mawla of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, brings us yet another authentic hadith that's been collected by Imam Muslim that shows us the minhaj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when it comes to the issue of istighfar. So look at all of the abwab that the people can go to knock on in order to get the istighfar. And that's the beauty of al-Islam. Part of the beauty of it is the richness of the religion. You are not locked into one single thing when it comes to making the ibadat to get the rewards of Allah. Thoban radiallahu anhu qad, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن ينصرف من صلاته استغفر الله 3 مرات ثم قال اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. Thoban said, if the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم completed his salah and he wanted to get up to leave from his salah, after saying assalamu alaykum, assalamu alaykum, he would say astaghfirullah, 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 and then he would make the dua, Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. So he's praying 5 times a day, every single day, for how many years? And every day after the salat, he says astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And can we possibly think, after contemplating on that, the importance of al-istighfar in al-Islam is not significant? So that's from his minhaj. After the salat, the person makes the istighfar. And that's from the ta'leem of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From those issues, ikhwan, is another dua that we call you to memorize. The dua that the Prophet named sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidul Istighfar, the leader or the amir of all of the du'as for seeking the forgiveness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Aws ibn Shaddad radiallahu anhu, in the hadith that's been collected by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, he said that the Prophet says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidul Istighfar, the boss or the leader or the amir of the dua that you can say to seek the forgiveness of Allah is this dua in which the abd says, Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduka, wa ana ala ahdik wa wa'dik mastata'tu, a'udhu bika min sharri ma... لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever says this dua in the morning time, believing in what he's saying, oh Allah, you are my Lord and I am your slave. You have created me and as a result, I'm on this contract and this promise to the best of my ability. You told me to fast, I'm fasting. You told me to pray, I'm praying. I'm going to do the best that I can to take care of this contract and this promise that I made. I seek refuge in you from the evil that I put forth. And I recognize publicly to you of the ni'mah or the favors that you bestowed upon me. And I recognize my sins and my faults. So therefore I ask you to forgive me for my sins. For verily there is no one who can forgive the sins except you. That's the Sayyid al-Istighfar. If it is the Amir of the Istighfar, the man who has trouble memorizing Arabic, he should still make it part of his repertoire to fight against the shaitan, to seek the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. So these are some of the manahij, some of the examples, some of the turuq and the abwab that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has brought to us, ikhwan, in order to show us the importance of al-istighfar and the best way of seeking the istighfar. Inna ahsan al-kalam كلام الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والثبات.